love, the Lord, the real values in life. How worthless everything else is. You can have your earthly treasure, your silver and your gold, but the Spirit, it's the Spirit that can never yet be sold. Only Jesus can truly satisfy your heart. He is the answer. But as long as you're still looking for things in the world to make you happy and satisfied, you won't find the truth. God's word warns us to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't be like the rich man in the Bible who wanted to build bigger barns to increase his goods for himself, not to share with others. His own soul had become barny and materialistic. He was deluded by the deceitfulness of riches. If God blesses you with money, don't trust in money, and don't let it fill your head to be high-minded. But trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. May we desire, love, and hunger for thy Spirit, and thy love, and thy simplicity, Lord, and thy humility. The realities, Lord, not the deceitfulness of riches, but the realities of love and the truth. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. As the old hymn says, "Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus." Our salvation is only by grace, never by works. We cannot save ourselves by our own works, our own goodness, even our own attempts to keep his laws and to love him. We cannot be good enough, we cannot be perfect enough to earn, merit, or deserve the heavenly perfection of his own holy salvation by his own grace, love, and mercy. It is impossible for anyone to be saved without the miracle-working power of God. Accepting salvation is a work of God's grace. It's free. It can only be received. It's the gift of God. You can't work for it. You can't earn a gift, or else it wouldn't be a gift. God's word says, "By grace are ye saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God can't help you save yourself, since he does not help those who think they can save themselves, but only those who know they can't. God's idea of goodness is a sinner who knows he needs God and depends on him for salvation. God's idea of saintliness is not sinless perfection, self-righteousness. It's a sinner saved by grace, a sinner who has no perfection, no righteousness of his own, but is totally dependent on the grace and the love and the mercy of God by faith. Those are the only saints there are. There are no others. You haven't got anybody's righteousness except Christ's, and he's the only one that can give it to you. The Lord really leaves a lot up to us and our concern and prayer. You'd be surprised how much God depends on our prayers, how concerned we are, and how interested we are. When we are faced with a needy situation, He wants us to show concern and to pray specifically about it. If we really believe, every prayer is heard and answered. But if we don't pray, it is not done. God can do anything, but He puts the responsibility of prayer on us. The very intensity with which we pray and really mean it or desire it is reflected in the answer. The recipients of our prayers are not going to receive any more than we send. We have to visualize the people or situations we're praying for and pray with that thought on our heart, asking the Lord specifically for what we want Him to do. And then our prayer will reflect or be answered with the same intensity as it originated. Like a beam of light focused on a mirror, it will bounce back with as much power as it began with. If we only pray with half a heart, we only get half an answer. But if we pray with our whole hearts, we get a wholehearted, strong answer. Are you exercising your prayer power? Heaven will reveal what good we have done, or could have done, through prayer. May we always be known by our love. What was Jesus' last message to His disciples at the Last Supper before He was arrested, taken to jail, beaten, and killed? By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one to another. He talked about love, that love was the most important thing. And the early Christians turned the world upside down with the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. Even their Roman rulers marveled at the love of the Christians and said, "Behold how these Christians love one another." The way the Christians lived convinced the Romans that their faith was real, and the Romans wondered what it was. "Who is this Christ, and why does He make you so happy? Even though you have nothing, you've got everything. How can I find this kind of happiness that I don't have?" And within 200 years, one out of every five people was a professing Christian, and the entire known civilized world had been saturated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a little love can go a long way, much further than you would ever have dreamed, if you will just be faithful in your love for the Lord and others, and your faithful witnessing to them of the love of Jesus Christ. Do you feed your body, but starve your soul? You could feed your body and lose your soul, such as the man in the Bible who stuffed his barns full of grain. God said to him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall all those things be? Having a full stomach and a full purse and a full head cannot give you a full heart. If you put the desires of the flesh above the needs of your spirit, then you will find that nothing ever satisfies. You will become as the world-famed poet Lord Byron, when he despaired at the height of his fame. I have drunk of every fount of pleasure, and quaffed every cup of fame, yet, alas, I die of thirst. Just like you have to eat in order to have physical strength, the good, wholesome, reliable, spiritual food of God's Word is essential for your spiritual life, and you won't last long without it. You need a good feeding and feasting and drinking of it every day. Though your outward man perisheth, is your inward man still growing, renewed every day with the life-giving flow of his spirit, with the nourishment of his words? The divine, supernatural, miraculous, infinite, marvelous love of God is love enough to forgive. God's mercy is endless, from everlasting to everlasting. His love and mercy and forgiveness and salvation never end. He never stops loving us, no matter what we do. He never rejects us nor withdraws his love. He always has hope for us, no matter how far we've strayed. Even in spite of our sins and shortcomings and misdeeds and crimes, whatever they may be, the blood of Jesus covers all our sins, past, present, and future. If we will forsake our sin and turn to the Lord, our God shall abundantly pardon. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, no matter what we have done. The only unpardonable sin is a lack of faith in Jesus or rejection of him as your Savior. But most people do not suffer for the unpardonable sin, but rather for pardonable sins from which they fail to repent and ask for forgiveness. We have a God big enough to forgive not only our mistakes, but our sins. He always has, and always does, and always will, forever and ever and ever. Like a stream, like a river, his love and mercy just keep flowing, no matter what. Be like Jesus. If you really have the compassion of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and the love of Christ in your heart, you're going to be like Jesus. And if you want to know what Jesus is like, just read the Gospels. They're beautiful. The Bible says Jesus went about everywhere doing good, striving to lead God's children back to the worship of the true Father, his little lambs back into the one and only true fold of the great shepherd, and the way of simple truth and love and peace, the true kingdom of God, whose only laws are love. Study the Gospels and see how Jesus did things. Study the master teacher who only taught and lived love and sharing, who came for love and lived in love and died for love, that we might live and love forever. This is why, for many, the words of Jesus are the best loved part of the Bible. He was almost always the peacemaker. When they didn't like his message, he didn't force it on them. It was all voluntary, all whosoever will. Jesus was patient, loving, kind, sympathetic, and forgiving, always loving, always leading, not pushing or driving, and always feeding and encouraging and strengthening his little lambs. Lord, you are the greatest sample of all, the greatest of all samples of humility and mercy. Help us to be like you, Lord Jesus. To truly give is to give cheerfully. God likes people who are cheerful givers, who give voluntarily because it makes them happy and because they know it pleases the Lord, and they're helping others, expecting nothing for themselves in return. That kind of giving, true giving, can be the greatest of all pleasures, because as the purse is emptied, the heart is filled. But when we don't give willingly, we don't give cheerfully, then we're not really giving. Like the rich man who thought he was throwing a copper penny into the church offering bag, but suddenly noticed as it left his fingers that it was a gold sovereign. When he suddenly saw what he was losing, he tried to snatch it back, but the usher put his hand over the bag and said, "Oh no, sorry. Once in, forever in." So the rich man said, "Well, at least I'll get credit for the sovereign in heaven." "No, you won't," said the usher. "You'll only get credit for the penny." The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. We must give willingly and in love if we want our giving to do any good, and if we expect any credit for it from the Lord. Are you going to give cheerfully? Then you will get a lot of credit for it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Only through him can we have peace. Regardless of the strife-torn world and the confusion of this world, he says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And perfect love casts out all fear. Even if there's war and turmoil and confusion and chaos on the outside, you can have peace on the inside, in your own heart, through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. To be reconciled with God means to make peace with God. And what is the only way you can make peace and be reconciled with God? There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. He's the one who made peace between us and the Father through his blood. God won't accept any other terms of peace, just the blood of Jesus. The only salvation is in Christ. The only peace is in the Prince of Peace. And the only truth is in the Word of God. Make sure that you are the Lord's, and he'll give you peace of mind, satisfaction of heart, and love and happiness here and now, and heaven too. Then you'll be ready for any calamity, knowing that no matter what happens, he'll take care of you. God is the only one who can give real meaning to living. So many people today don't know what to believe. They don't know where they're from, who they are, where they're going. They're in absolute confusion because they've lost touch with the only concrete frame of reference, and that's God and his explanation of life, the Bible. They've lost faith in God. So therefore they lose faith in love, and therefore they lose faith in life. They lose faith in people. They lose faith in everything. But we have found love that lasts forever, and a God that cannot fail. And we know him whom to know is life eternal. We're born again, and now we have an utterly different outlook on life and a new way of looking at the world. Thank God. And besides the wonderful happiness, life, and love that living for Jesus gives us, we've also been given a real purpose in living and someone to live for. We now like to face life and find a thrill in our newfound tasks and the greatest of pleasure in the fellowship of our newfound family, and the greatest of satisfactions in our newfound faith. In fact, every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Every day with Jesus, we love him more and more. He's wonderful. Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I have found thee. Now at last I know the meaning of it all. It's Jesus. Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you been born again into the wonderful new world of love and freedom and happiness that we've been talking about on this tape? If not, all you have to do is invite Jesus, God's Son, into your heart. He'll give you peace of mind, love, and happiness right now and forever. So why not try Him? Just say this short prayer with me. Dear Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Please help me to love you and to love others with your love. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now can begin the most exciting time you have ever known in your life as you learn how the wonderful promises God has made to you in His Word can make you happy and fulfilled, both now and in the future. For more inspiring tapes and literature, please write us today at the address on the cassette jacket. God bless you. We love you.